This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison.
It's your boy.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I saw the Jerry Jones comments earlier in the week. No urgency. If I'm a player, and I know Jerry Jones has had to walk these comments back, but how important am I to you?
Earlier on the show, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane. Coming up, Big Three commissioner, Clyde Drexler. Dolphins running back, Raheem Mostert. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hour number two here on The Rich Eisen Show on this Friday. Oh, man, so much to get to as well. I can't wait. I got a nice little football weekend ahead as I get a chance to. I can't wait to let everybody know about my top five things I can't wait to see in preseason week number two, because I got to see these quarterback battles. So I'll tell you the ones that I can't wait for you to watch as well. Give you a little something viewing for your viewing pleasures this weekend. We're talking about Dak Prescott. I know you guys weren't, you didn't know this, but we were talking about this during the break. It's crazy to think that Dak Prescott's been the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for eight seasons now, going on year nine. And then you think about it, right after him, it's crazy to think that it's a tie between Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Now we throw Patrick Mahomes in there as well, just because he wasn't a starter right away in 17, it became 18.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
We got a lot. But you know what? I pause just because I get a chance to talk to someone. I've been so excited. I couldn't sleep last night because when I think of the name, there's like some of these cool names that you always hear. But when you hear Clyde, also known as Clyde the Glide Drexler, man, you get excited. And he joins us now on the Rich Eisen Show. He's the commissioner of the Big Three. He's also the Hall of Famer, Clyde Drexler. How are you doing, Clyde?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning? What's going on?
I'm excited. I mean, you're part of a fraternity that I will never be a part of, Phi Slamma Jamma. So I just was not that vertically challenged. I couldn't get up that high like you once were able to. But the Big Three Championship, though, Clyde, is this weekend. It is all set. You got the number one seed coached by Gary Payton, featuring Corey Brewer and Michael Cooper's Three's Company. They've got the MVP and Michael Beasley. Let me know what's going on with the Big Three Championship. What should I be tuning in to see, or what should I can't wait to see?
Well, first of all, it's this Sunday in Boston.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
So it's coming up. But it's the best professional basketball in the entire world. The Big Three is real, coached by Hall of Fame players and coaches like Gary Payton, Michael Cooper, Lisa Leslie, Julius Erving, George Gervin, you name it, we've got them in the Big Three. It's the best league in the entire summer if you're a hoops fan. So it doesn't get any better than Big Three, started by Ice Cube and Jeff Quantnitz. And the Big Three is nothing short of a phenomenon. If you like hoops, the Big Three is your game. And so the championship in Boston is going to be tough. Some really good teams led by Gary Payton, Bivouacs. They have Corey Brewer, Gerald Green, Garland Green. They got some great players. Michael Cooper has Mario Chalmers, Michael Beasley, Reggie Evans, Sean Williams, and this young phenom, Nazir Core. These guys go at it. And so, you know, it's going to be a defensive struggle. Both teams are big. They can defend, but they can also put the ball in the basket. So we're expecting just one heck of a game.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Eastern time on CBS and also on X as well this Sunday. It's not just a game, though, Clyde, right? This is festivities. This is a whole big kind of giant extravaganza, a big weekend for the Big Three. What else is going on besides this championship game?
Well, you know, the Big Three has always got a lot in store, right? Ice Cube has always got entertainment. We got our celebrity game going on. We got an all-star game. Both of those games take place before the championship game, which is the main attraction. And this is the culmination of a 10-week season. And so it's highly anticipated. You had to really deserve the honor to play for the championship of the Big Three in our seventh season. And we're all looking forward to it. The city of Boston is going to be a great host, as they always turn out for the Big Three. And, you know, if you like professional basketball, the Big Three is where you should be.
Yeah, tickets can be purchased at big3.com/tickets. The championship game set for this Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time on CBS and also on X. What's been the great thing for you, Clyde, as the Hall of Famer, to be a part of this Big Three as a commissioner? What's been the big thing that every week you get a chance to see with these athletes who once played in the NBA, many of them did, and now have this opportunity to still continue to play basketball at a high level and now be able to compete for a championship?
Yeah, it's been tremendously it's been an honor to be a part of, because, you know, when we first started, people thought it was old man basketball, like a senior tour for the NBA. But our age limit is 22. So we got young players playing with some very good players who could still play in the NBA. And our young players are still trying to get in the NBA. So this is the best basketball in the world in the summer. And so the Big Three, and it's 3-on-3. It's different from 5-on-5. It's never going to be 5-on-5. You got to be a complete defensive player and a complete offensive player to make one of these teams. And so the action is fierce. We play like 80s style. We let them hand check. That's something that's completely different. We got a 4-point shot. Right. So these games, and you know, the first one, the 25 is halftime. The game ends at 50, but you got to win by 2. So they go quick. And let me tell you something. Yeah. If a guy gets hot, it could be over real quick. but the defense is what makes it. They play hard. These guys play with a lot of pride. And as I said, they're coached by Hall of Fame coaches. And so there's, you know, there's a lot at stake. all of our guys are winners. So nobody wants to be the loser. That's
absolutely
the good thing.
Man, Clyde Drexler, commissioner of the Big Three, Basketball Hall of Famer. But I also say he's also part of a prestigious team. One that I had a little nostalgia last Saturday, to be honest with you, Clyde, because I watched the gold medal matchup between USA and France. And every time you see USA in basketball, I don't care who you are, it takes you back to what I say was the greatest team ever assembled. That 1992 USA basketball team, the dream team. What do you remember most about being a part of such an illustrious group?
Well, it was a tremendous moment in time, first of all. First time professional players were allowed to compete in the Olympics, right? So we were the first team. And it was, you know, some of the greatest players that ever played a game on that team. Gary Payton was on the second dream team in 96 and the one after that. And they were phenomenal. Mm. And so it started off, we were just lighting people up, because we were light years ahead of them. But the world is catching up. But, you know, when the world is catching up, it's great to see, like this year, the USA just continues to win. They continue to plow through it. They find a way to win. And that's what it's all about, being a USA Olympian as a professional player.
You know, look, I remember just watching, but you lived it. You were there, the Barcelona Olympics. This was a pre-social media era. Clyde, just you guys walking around, the great basketball players of the world, just the fans' interaction. Like, what do you remember most about that interaction and how the people were flocking the streets to see you guys as you paraded through Barcelona?
Yeah, we were trying to be normal tourists and just regular Olympians, but they had security guard. They'd be 50, 25 feet behind you, but they were there. So it's not like you could just go anywhere you wanted and do anything you wanted to do. You had to have your security guard, especially if you had your family there, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a great moment. The city of Barcelona hosted those Olympics, and it was a phenomenal place to be. And it's, you know, that team was just nothing short of spectacular. Had some great Hall of Fame coaches like Lenny Wilkins, Coach K, the great Chuck Daly. I mean, so it doesn't get any better when you talk about the original dream team. I think they're special, first of all, because they were first. And second of all, because of the talent that's on that team. It's arguable that the 96 team was just as good. But I hadn't seen any other team, in my opinion, that I think could beat either one of those teams.
You already know that was my next question. The 2024 version of USA Basketball versus the 1992 dream team. If you had to guard one person, one guy on this 2024 team, why would you guard Steph Curry and shut him down?
But, you know, we love all the players. We're all the same family. So I can't tell you secrets. The other countries may be listening.
But just, I know you've heard it before, and look, we saw the Jordan versus, you know, Magic and Bird in your practices, and we've seen some of the practices with the 2024 version. Just being around that greatness, what was the biggest thing that you remember or you take away from those moments?
Well, we had been around those guys in All-Star games and things of that nature, so we knew each other pretty well. I was in my ninth season. I think Magic was in his 11th to 12th, Bird 11th to 12th. Michael in his eighth season. So Malone and David and Stockton, all those guys were seasoned veterans. So we knew exactly what to expect. Chris Mullins, same thing, seven or eight seasons. So it wasn't like this was going to be our first rodeo. But one thing you saw was when you put those good players on the floor, they know what to do. Just keep putting good players out there. They'll find their role. You don't have to define it the way that some people may think. Good players are good players because they know what to do.
Clyde Drexler, he's the Hall of Famer, the commissioner of the Big Three, Basketball Hall of Famer. Just a couple more seconds with you, Clyde, because the Big Three has their championship this weekend. Have they announced the MVP and Defensive Players of the Year of the Big Three season this year yet?
Yes, the Big Three, MVP, greatly deserved, Michael Beasley. He's hard to guard, and he can really put the ball in the basket. And as for Defensive Player of the Year, it's Corey Brewer, who's been phenomenal. He can guard anybody on the court, and he just plays his heart out week in and week out. So those two guys, congratulations. You truly deserve it. And ironically, those two guys are playing in the championship game against each other. So what a show.
And it's funny that, ironically, I always say that this is it's kind of what they were most known for when they played at the NBA. Michael Beasley came into the NBA as this prolific scorer, and Corey Brewer became one of the defensive specialists. And it's crazy to think that that still goes into the Big Three after they've left the NBA. So I guess you said on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time on CBS, I should see a high-scoring affair or the defensive affair you mentioned?
Well, I think you're going to see a little bit of both. But obviously, you got to get to 50 to win the game, right? So, but these teams defend. They give you the effort, and both teams are deep and talented. You know, in 3-on-3 in the Big Three, we only have five players and one coach, so it's a smaller unit, and so guys bond a little bit better because of that. And so, what you'll see is, you know, because they're both deep and talented, they can play really hard and get some subs in, and they won't lose much. And so that's why both of these teams are in the championship, because they're deep and they're talented and they play really hard.
You know, I got one last question before I let you out of here, Clyde. We were just having this discussion about classic uniforms and jerseys. You wore a lot of jerseys throughout your career. What do you think for you is the most iconic jersey that you ever wore? Was it the number 10 Dream Team jersey? Was it your jersey at the University of Houston? Was it the old uniforms with the Trailblazers? What's that jersey for you that's like the iconic one that you can't get rid of?
Well, what I'll tell you is, being who I've been my whole life, is it's a tremendous honor to win one of those jerseys. When you get one of those jerseys, that means you've made the team. And as a kid growing up in Houston, Texas, that was my dream. So every time I got one of those jerseys, it didn't matter what it said on it. You're on the team, right? So it was a tremendous feeling of accomplishment. And obviously, you're going to give it everything you have. But I played on some great teams, from the Dream Team, the Five Slammer Jammer, to the Portland Trailblazer great teams, to the Houston Rocket great teams. And every one of them were totally different. But it's the same sport. It's basketball. You're doing the same thing you do. And if you love it, I think that passion shows through. And so I was fortunate to be on some great teams, coached by some great coaches, as were, it's like the Big Three. That's because that's what it takes. If you want to play with the best in the world, you got to be around that environment. And I was lucky to be around that environment for many, many years.
Well, I guess that's just my way for begging for the Portland Trailblazers 22 Drexler jersey. So I don't know if you got that. If you want to, you can send it here. We are in El Segundo, California. Whenever you get a chance to, that Portland jersey, that Trailblazer jersey, especially the one you wore against the Bulls, man, that's the one I need.
Yeah, I'm not a big memorabilia guy. I don't have not one of those, let me tell you.
I got you. Hey, Clyde, man, I appreciate
it. I wish I knew where to find it.
I know. We're going to find it. All right, Clyde. I got to let you go, man, but we appreciate the time. 5 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. It's the Big 3 Championship on CBS and X, man. We can't wait to see you there. Again, man, best of luck on Sunday. Talk to you soon.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
That's the Hall of Famer, Clyde Drexler, member of the original Dream Team in the Barcelona Olympics back in 1992. So much, jeez. So much. I love that. Crazy. About that. As we get ready, where are we at here? It's my time. That's why.
Oh.
My top five things I'm looking for this weekend in preseason week number 2. That comes right back at you next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
When was the first time you met Jordan? When was the first time you met him, shook his hand, covered him, or something like that?
Yeah, the first time I met him was at that Midsummer Night's Dream game out there in L.A. Mm-hmm. And we just had, that was a time where guys would play in these all-star games during the summer, and it was a real game. You know, it wasn't like they were out there like Globetrotters or something. They actually really were playing with egos involved. So that was the first time I had met him then, and we just sort of met after the game, talked, and exchanged phone numbers, and sort of the rest in terms of how our relationship developed, it developed from that.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that anybody learned from this documentary is that anything that Jordan ever played in wasn't just a regular game, right? I mean, that was a real, that's one thing that I'm sure if anybody needed to be introduced to Jordan, and there's a whole generation that did, they just learned that. Did you learn anything from The Last Dance, Ahmad Rashad?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I think, just like you said when you introduced me, I had a catbird seat to all of it. And it was one of those different sort of, I've never sort of been in a situation where I had sort of free access to the locker room, to the training room, to their buses, I was just there. So I got a chance to see a lot of those things. I was glad that people got a chance to see the human side of Michael, and you see how competitive he was and how demanding he was. And I think what I take from that is, if you think Larry Bird wasn't like that, and if you think Magic Johnson wasn't like that, then you're not really thinking the right way. So it wasn't just Michael that was just win at all costs, put your foot on the guy's neck kind of thing. All these guys were able to do that, but Michael, what separated him was his athletic ability was way above anybody's at that point.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, everybody, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Week 2 in preseason has already started. It began last night, Eagles at Patriots. That's great. That means that we still got 15 more games to go on the Week 2 preseason slate. But guess what? You don't have to watch all of them. I've got 5 things that I'll be watching in preseason week number 2 that hopefully you'll be watching as well. Hit the tape.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Kirks.
Top 5.
Oh, I like that graphic. I like that graphic.
You didn't see the graphic. It was great. They put Kirk's head up there.
Oh, my head on there.
I don't know what you guys put the heads on.
I was looking down.
Yeah.
Anybody pay attention to that?
There it is.
Yeah.
Woo. I love it, baby.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Number 5. Morris Day and the Time. Oh. And no, I'm not going back. Yeah, a little bit of the Bird. Yes. Yes, Morris Day, one of the great singers, had one of the great albums. And you think about the feud between the artist known as Prince and Morris Day.
He toured with him.
And they were best friends, by the way.
Yes.
But now when I'm talking about Morris Day, I'm talking about the 2024 version, which is Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons, because it's a new day.
Yes, it is.
And that's what I'm watching in preseason week number 2, as the Atlanta Falcons, with the addition of Matthew Judon this week, the trade they got from the New England Patriots, they also sign, under the radar? They signed Justin Simmons, free agent safety. Simmons, Bates in the back end, A.J. Terrell, the outstanding young corner. We know about Bijan Robinson on offense, Michael Penix, who they drafted, number 8 overall. Kirk Cousins is already there. Kyle Pitts, Drake London. It's a new day, or as I call it, it's a Morris Day. And the new time, baby, with the Atlanta Falcons.
Don't you dare be sour.
Rise up.
And they got the Bird, too. You remember, Morris Day and the Time actually had a song called The Bird.
Yeah.
That's going to be the calling card for the new Atlanta Falcons and Morris Day. Or
makes sense.
Raheem Morris, the new day and time. Whew. Preseason week number 2, number 4. Is it Giant Problems? In New York. Giant problems in New York. I say that because Daniel Jones, is he the guy or not? Let's go back to Daniel Jones in week 1 of the preseason. Not very good. Are you excited about Daniel Jones? I'm going to watch because I want to see more of Daniel Jones. He didn't play in the preseason game, so I had to watch Tommy Cutlets.
Hey.
I had to watch Drew Locke, who hurt himself, who could be the starter, but now may not because he's banged up. Yep. I want to see Daniel Jones. And if you are a Giants fan, I demand to see Daniel Jones because you have to know, is there a giant problem already? Malik Nabers doesn't need that. Did you ever see that meme of the cat and he's inside of the building? Case. Like the one cat is in the building, and I believe the guy comes up to the door. He's like, I'm going to get you out of there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get you out. You don't need to be there.
Right.
I'm going to get you out of there. Malik Nabers, I may be doing that after this weekend or the early part of the season, because Daniel Jones, I want to see more from him. But, man, this could be an epic failure that I call a giant problem in New York. So hopefully Daniel Jones plays, and we can see that there's going to be promise and optimism for the New York Football Giants. My number 3 thing I'll be watching this weekend for preseason.
Let's go.
To see if Bryce is not so young anymore. Okay.
I like what you did.
Bryce Young. You can't say he's the rookie quarterback anymore. He's the young guy. No, brother. Bryce Young, he's got to be Bryce older. He's got to show that he's grown from year 1 to year 2. And Dave Canales, we talked a little bit yesterday about him. He's excited on the way that Bryce Young is progressing in year number 2. The offense seems to be flowing a little bit more. They've got some pieces now. that can help him out. They invested in the offensive line. They went and got Deontay Johnson. They already had Adam Thielen. They've got Mingo. They've got some receivers. They feel like, hey, we're a better team now than maybe this team was a year ago. And they have offensive direction. So Bryce can't be young. He can't be not so young anymore. I need to see some Bryce old this weekend. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we see Bryce Young in the preseason, week two. That's what I'm looking for. Now, I might have to turn the channel if I get out there. And Bryce Young will not be playing. And I'm like, come on. So Dave Canales, do us all a favor. Let's see if Bryce Young truly has made that leap in the preseason. All right, second thing that I'll be watching preseason week number two. I'll just start it like this. Black and gold, let's go.
Here we go.
Black and gold, let's go. Russell Wilson hopefully will make his debut.
Wilson.
With the Steelers jersey on. Mr. Wilson's neighborhood, everybody. Will it be his neighborhood or is he getting kicked out of the neighborhood? Who knows? Justin Fields played okay, decent in preseason. Couldn't take a snap. He dropped me fumbled snaps. Turned the ball over. I would say left the door open. Not cracked. It's open for the – is it a competition? I know before the season it was – or before training camp, I should say, Russell Wilson was the leader in the clubhouse because of, you know, his elder statesman in the room. But Justin Fields didn't show me anything in the preseason week number one that would say that this is a tighter competition than it may be. But this is Mr. Wilson's time to show everybody that this is my neighborhood.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Here we go. Black and gold. Here we go. Here we go. I'm looking to see if Russell Wilson can regain what we – it's so hard. We've done this before with other players. We always think about when they had their successful years in any sport. Man, Russell Wilson was – you talked about earlier.
Russell Wilson was sick.
He
man.
Was him.
Russell Wilson was sick.
Like, he would put the fear in any defense because you just didn't know. He had the moon ball. He had the escape ability. He was accurate.
He knew he
was going to be out there every single week. And then this little hiatus he's had in Denver the last 2 years. And we were saying he went from for sure Hall of Famer to – hey, man, I don't know.
He went from
Hall of Famer in Seattle to, hey, man, hey, we got to have a real discussion.
Yep.
Now, can he get that back? Can he regain the Russell Wilson of Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson? Can he regain it now with the Pittsburgh Steelers? And guess what? We'll get a chance to see that in week two of the preseason. Excited about that. Well, we get to number one. And this is the quarterback battle. If you asked me this question before the offseason started, I would say, what? This actually may determine a lot. And when I say a lot, I'm saying a lot.
Give it to me.
You ready?
Give it to me.
The quarterback competition, or the battle this weekend between two starting preseason quarterbacks. Stetson Bennett versus Easton Stick.
Yes!
It's the battle it's the battle of
Light
LA. You know what? First of all, I got a caveat to this after we get done talking about this one. But the LA Rams take on the LA Chargers and two quarterbacks that got to do something. They got to prove something. Let's start with the Rams first. Stetson Bennett, who threw four, not one, not two, not three, not four. He actually threw a fifth.
There was a penalty. It got called back.
It was a penalty. So they said, oh, no. So he threw four interceptions on paper, five in real life.
He threw four at Georgia.
But this real question is, Matthew Stafford is the starter in Los Angeles. We know that. Jimmy Garoppolo, who is considered the backup, well, he's suspended for the first two games of the National Football League season of 2024. Is Stetson Bennett going to win the backup job for two games till Jimmy Garoppolo is available? this preseason game means so much to Stetson Bennett, because guess what? If he plays horrible again, or bad again, I should say, the Rams may be looking for a rental quarterback for two games. So they're going to go to rental quarterback. Is there a thing called rental quarterback? Where do you go to for, hey, can we rent a quarterback for two games?
Where was that? That was where Flacco was last
year?
Right.
Rent a QB. That's what we go for. Let's rent a QB.
We have to go to our ATC at the crib section here. Yeah. See who we have left. Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill. Can you get me through two games?
You're just scrolling through.
Rent a QB. That's what the Rams may be looking for. That's why Stetson Bennett has to. Yes, Stetson Bennett has to play well to at least give the Rams hope that if anything happens to Matthew Stafford, Stetson Bennett can get you through a week or two till Jimmy Garoppolo, if needed. This is all hypothetical. This is all break glass if necessary scenarios. But guess what? That is just the LA Rams side of it. Let's get over to Easton Stick, everybody. Stick.
First team all name.
Woo! Easton Stick last week, by the way, just did not have the...
not great.
not great. He was 5 of 13 for 31 yards and one interception. Now, everybody would probably say, but it's Easton Stick. Why are we worried about Easton Stick? Because Justin Herbert is suffering from plantar fascia. Now, there are reports that he is no longer walking around with the boot.
The boot's off.
The boot is off. But still, does that mean that he's healthy? He's ready to go? And could the plantar fascia come back? Could it flare back up? And if that's the case, Easton Stick is your starter for the Chargers in week one versus LA's third team, the Raiders. I know it's Vegas, I get it, but Raiders, Chargers, week one, will Justin Herbert be available or will it be Easton Stick? Because Easton sure didn't show me anything to get excited about in the first preseason game. So we got a battle of two quarterbacks in a preseason game that actually may have some intensity that I didn't know that I needed. So I'll be covering this game at 4:05 Pacific, 7:05 in the East. The quarterback battle I didn't know I needed between the Chargers and the Rams. Those are my five things that I will be watching in preseason week number two, everybody.
Love it.
So I told you I had a caveat question to it, and this is maybe you guys can help me, because we are here in Los Angeles. Sorry for everybody else listening. You can turn your headphones off just for a second, but I love that we label a lot of the rivalries or games. Remember, the LA Galaxy versus LAFC is known as El Tráfico. That's the name of the game, right?
El Tráfico.
El Tráfico.
Freeway series, right?
In
Dodgers,
baseball.
Dodgers and Angels.
Dodgers and Angels.
Yeah.
Freeway series. Well, they won't have it anymore because obviously the Clippers are moving to their new arena, the Intuit Dome. But when the Clippers played against the Lakers over down at the Crypto, formerly Staples Center, it was called the Hallway Series, right? Because the guys they had locker rooms in the same hallway. Mm-hmm. So what's the Chargers versus the Rams at SoFi? I know it doesn't happen all the time because of the way it's scheduled. So Chargers versus Rams, whenever the two LA teams play. So like when the Mets play the Yankees, it's considered the what?
Subway series,
right? Yep. We know that. But what happens when the Rams play the Chargers in the same arena or the same stadium? What is that?
That is a question that I don't know.
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
Well, let's see.
Maybe we can have the people on Twitter, on the X, can help us out.
Or just like Inglewood native. Like, what's native to Inglewood?
Right.
That would be a cool, you know, phrase.
The Battle of Randy's Donuts?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Manchester Melee? Because Manchester.
There you go. The Imperial March?
Yes. Right. The Battle on Arbor Vitae.
Prairie
and Arbor Vitae are the actual streets.
Century?
Yeah. Century Boulevard. There it is. The battle on Century. Between the Chargers.
The clash of the Century.
The clash on Century. I love that. Battle at LAX. Which one? I don't know. Right. What's even better? But yeah, those are the things that kind of go through my mind at night. Trying to find a name for the Chargers and the Rams. See, I grew up in one of the most iconic series, the Battle of the Bay. You had that between the A's and Giants, but it also was a part of football as well. The Battle of the Bay wasn't just for baseball, like San Francisco Giants, Oakland A's. It was also when the Oakland Raiders took on the San Francisco 49ers. It was just the Battle of the Bay. It didn't matter. It was one side versus the other side. But I don't know if there's like a one side is Chargers versus the Rams, because we're still trying to figure out the Charger fans, and the Rams have already kind of had their flag planted with two Super Bowl berths and one Super Bowl trophy already. We need a name, though. I'm just a big name guy. I love it. I love the tradition of college football, Paul Bunyan's axe, the big game, the Red River Showdown. Like, those, I love, like, love games them. That have meaning.
Love them.
Love those.
The world's biggest outdoor cocktail party.
Are you allowed to say that?
What do you mean?
I thought you're not allowed to say that anymore.
Cocktail party? Well, we can't say the Oklahoma-Texas one anymore.
You can't say the Oklahoma-Texas one. That was like the biggest outdoor. Florida-Georgia.
Florida-Georgia.
Because it's like all these new rules. People are trying to get away from the
drinking,
the stigma of drinking.
What if we call this the Rivers Lake Rumble? Since that's the name of the lake there.
That's the name of it?
I think it's the Rivers Lake.
The man-made lake?
At SoFi. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, the man-made lake over there.
The Rivers Lake Rumble.
I like that. We got to put it out there. So that's what they should. That's what the people should have a trophy built in for this preseason game. trophies.
Yeah.
Well, they play the Snoopy Bowl for the Giants and Jets, right?
Snoopy Bowl.
Because that's MetLife.
That is MetLife. The Snoopy Bowl between Giants and Jets.
Right. MetLife forever.
See, everybody's got games, right? Everybody, we love a name for the game, right?
Yeah, Rivers Lake. You're right.
Rivers Lake.
It's called the Crown Jewel of Inglewood.
Rivers Lake.
Who knew? What do we do?
Showdown. It's the Rivers Lake Showdown.
Good job, TJ.
Yeah.
Rivers Lake Rumble.
Because TJ, I just found that out right now, so thank you.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Rivers Lake.
To teach.
Okay. Because now, not to be confused with Philip Rivers, former Chargers quarterback.
No.
Or the LA River.
Or the LA River, which it's really not a river when it rains.
Because all it is a watch.
And by the way, when you talk about that quarterback matchup with Stetson Bennett and Easton Stick,
yes,
those two dudes only really had two options in their lives with those names. Stetson Bennett IV, Easton Stick, they either had to become professional quarterbacks or they had to become 80s movies villains. That's the only two paths that they could have taken.
I do like that,
Stetson
though.
Bennett IV, you know, that's James Spader has made a career of playing guys that look like their name were Stetson Bennett
IV. Yeah, when you get the movie, the credits at the end. It's played by Stetson Bennett.
Well, that would be the character, or Easton Stick.
Easton Stick.
That was, Rob Lowe in a movie, Easton Stick and Stetson Bennett.
I love that. Love that, man. So I got a lot to go. A lot to watch this weekend. Excited about that. We had an update on the Dak Prescott contract situation earlier in hour one. The other unsolved situation, is it a situation? Is it a contract situation? Is it a trade situation? I'm not sure what are we calling the Brandon Ayuk situation. Maybe we can talk about it during the break and we'll have a resolution for you. We'll give you a little update. John Lynch spoke about it, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Hear from John Lynch coming up next here on the Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. And the same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should, too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
We see money inefficiency OG around us all the time. We've got a few skeletons sitting out in the open, and maybe we need to broom them into the closet, if you know what I mean.
Nope, take that out.
What is...
Whatever you were going for didn't land right. Who's got a shovel and some lime?
Maybe you need to do that with your financial picture. I don't know.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
When you're running the ball downhill, Debo, do you see people making business decisions? Is it something you're seeing as you're running downhill, Debo?
I mean, honestly, I really don't. The way they move out of the way, if they don't, you know, they just don't feel it.
But you could see it though, right? Come on now. You could see the eyes maybe getting wide, and you could see them maybe getting down a little lower than, you know, they're trying to get some leverage here.
Most people kind of turn it down, but some people out there just make business decisions and just kind of throw their bodies, just hoping I fall down too.
Well, I mean, that's not really happening. I'm not seeing that. Do you like the contact? Do you enjoy it?
Of course. So growing up, I played mostly like running back until I kind of got to college, and then I transitioned to a wideout.
So what do you like to do if you're given a choice? Run it or catch it and run it? What's your favorite to do?
I'd rather catch it than run it.
Why is that?
Because if I catch it, I got way more space, you know. I mean, it's really not a preference, but I preferably like to catch it and run.
Okay, and you got a good story about Shanahan showing you a play, and you're like, oh, okay, that's going to work. And then it does. You got one of those?
Sir, I do not remember any of them.
None of them? Because normally we've seen that, where he just says, this is going to work. We're going to get a touchdown. Didn't he do that with Kittle once? He says, this one's going to go to the house, and then it goes to the house.
Kyle, I mean, if you watch him, and like, he's all the way down, like if we on offense, he all the way down on the other side just watching, and you can see him sometimes talking to the referee.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now watch Kittle, this guy's about to hold, and 9 times out of 10 he holds, and then we get the flag. But a lot of plays that he calls, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Any play that Kyle calls can end up in a touchdown.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I want to talk to you about GameTime.co. That's right. GameTime.co is an authorized ticket marketplace. It makes getting baseball tickets right now in the heat, the dog days of summer baseball, but games, this pennant races that are picking up, it makes it easier to buy these tickets. Preseason tickets in football, they're pretty easy to get, but guess what? Regular season tickets are approaching. That's why you need the GameTime.co app, because getting tickets is faster and easier, and prices on the GameTime app, actually, they go down closer as the game gets right before kickoff, right before first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the low price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying those high-priced tickets that you see in other places. That's why you got to go to GameTime.co. Great deals for these games. Look, I want you to understand this. You can customize your spot and supplement as an inspiration of what this app, GameTime.co, features. The last-minute deals, the flash deals, the zone deals, your views from your seat. But this is the best part. When I love talking about GameTime.co, I love talking about this, everybody. The low price guarantee, but more importantly, the event cancellation protection. I want to say that again. Event cancellation protection. That's what you need. We've seen events get canceled. We've seen play. It could be the rainy days. I know it was still in summer, but I saw some rain forecasted in parts of the country. Don't worry about it. GameTime.co, they got you. So make sure you go download GameTime.co. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets. So download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, that's Rich, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Oh, man. So have we decided what are we calling the Brandon Ayuk situation? Is it a... It's a holdout, then it was a hold in, then it's a hold in with a possible trade, not a trade. He was supposed to go to New England, and Cleveland had a deal, and then Amari Cooper is tweeting that he's, you know, could be fun, and then the 49ers are throwing out their last-minute deal.
Now, let me ask you
and
this.
I'm just like, days of our lives, like, what is going on?
It's for sure an impasse, I think is the proper phrase we're going to use. But let me ask you this.
Sure.
And this, I'm a wildly overreacting and speculating, TJ. I'm sure it's a shock to all of you. Do you think Brandon Ayuk watched Drake May last night and was like, okay, $32 million, New England, I'm sold. Let's get this back on. Turn the machines back on. I'm going to the Pats because Drake May looked awesome.
No.
Dang it.
No.
Dang it.
I think if anything, you realize... Where are you at in terms of your career? Who's the quarterback that you feel most comfortable with? But then more importantly, what is the vision for you inside of an offense? I think that's why the 49ers are saying, look, this is our deal for you. This is what we can provide for you. Or you can go somewhere else. Now, if you go somewhere else, you're going to get the deal, but it may be more, but will the production go down or go up? Like, we don't know. It's all about betting on yourself. This is a different situation than I think you look at remember the A.J. Brown trade from the Titans to the Eagles? Immediately, the Eagles got the better end of that trade and got the general manager fired in Tennessee. I don't think this is the same situation. It's... The 49ers have a checkbook, and it's hard when you have success. The 49ers are successful, division titles. Everybody else has gotten paid. Debo's got paid. McCaffrey's got paid. Kittle's got paid. Fred Warner's got paid. Javon Hargrave comes in free agency. Everybody's getting theirs. Trent Williams is getting paid. Which still, I don't know, is Trent Williams still holding out? We don't even talk about Williams. Right?
We don't talk about him. We don't talk about Jamar Chase. Like,
Trent Williams is actually on the team, and they're not even talking about him, but he's the best left tackle in the NFL, and he wants a contract, a new contract. They still have to get that situation done. And so that's a lot on the plate for the general manager, John Lynch. And John Lynch... here's John Lynch in my hometown of the Bay Area on KNBR talking about the situation of all these contracts, especially Brandon Ayuk's.
Is there bad blood?
No, there's not bad blood. I mean, negotiations can get heated. I think it's his first time going through that, no bad blood. I mean, if you know people that are here see Brandon out here, there's love. A lot of love and respect for the relationship we've had and continue to have and hopefully we'll have into the future.
Why is it taking so long? What's the reason?
Consumed a lot of our time, my time.
I've had a hamstring injury. Longest contract at the end of the season. Does that factor into what the 49ers inside? That has also become a much bigger distraction. Every day we're looking for updates, but we're going to talk to his teammate in the next hour, Raheem. Quiet. Also could be a huge part of this weekend. If Russell Wilson goes out with the Pittsburgh Steelers, has a good outing, but they also show that they need a number one true wide receiver. Look, no offense to George Pickens, not as seasoned yet as Brandon Ayuk. Not been in the fire as long as Brandon Ayuk. Could that also rear its head to where the Steelers bump up their compensation and also their contract for Brandon Ayuk? There's a lot that could happen this weekend. We talked about it. We are 3 weeks away, less than 3 weeks from the beginning of the season, even less than that before this 53 cutdown is coming up even more rapidly. Let's be honest. Will Brandon Ayuk in week one be a part of the 49ers, or will he be on another team? That's the unresolved part of this 2024 training camp. it's bigger than the CeeDee Lamb, because we all think, hey, CeeDee's going to get the contract. Right, he'll be with the Cowboys. Right. He'll be fine.
It's
Jamar
crazy.
Chase, he's going to be fine. He's going to be right there in Cincinnati. They'll do right by him, and he'll do right by the team. The Brandon Ayuk situation just seems a little more testy, a little more feisty.
It's nuts that this story has taken over
yeah.
the whole NFL training camp.
It has. For everybody.
For everybody.
Every insider.
Because every insider, like, there's an update, but it's not really right. an update. It's like, and then, you know, it affected the Patriots for yeah. a second. It's still affecting the AFC North right. with the Steelers and Browns involved. And then it could tip the balance of power in the NFC West, really. Yeah. Like, if he suddenly leaves, does that make the 49ers vulnerable to mm-hmm. the Rams or Seattle or Cardinals are kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
A super fun team to think about coming out of that division. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It is. I'm
lying. Brandon, if I have to send you the Drake May cut-ups, I will. Did you see him last night? Reconsider.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to reconsider.
The Pats offered the most money.
Man, they're going to be handing the ball off. Ramondre Stevenson, let's get ready. So I could say, as in a segue to the top of the hour, what's more likely?
What's more likely?
Ayuk a 49er or Ayuk somewhere else? We'll find out. Hour number three coming up. It's funny, man. It's because I literally feel like we've turned Brandon Ayuk into Jerry Rice. We talked about him at
nauseam.
I'm not saying, but let's just be honest. If I gave you 10 wide receivers right now, would Brandon Ayuk be in that top 10?
Ooh, I love where your head's at.
I'm just giving you
respectfully.
Respectfully, would you put Brandon Ayuk in that top 10?
I'd say no.
I'm telling you right now, like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson,
Chase, Lamb.
Lamb, obviously, that's your three. Nakua. I would throw at Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp.
You got Puka and Kupp?
Yeah, Puka and Kupp. Kupp's still that dude now.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf.
AJ Brown.
AJ.
Garrett Wilson. Devontae.
Let's just keep going. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I think he's a good player. But Brandon Ayuk is not Jerry Rice, right? He's not like the way that we've covered the story at nauseam.
All right, I'm looking at fantasy rankings, right? They've got Ayuk 18th on ESPN.
Come on, man.
So Nico ahead of him.
Nico Collins.
Devontae Smith, Drake London, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman. Yet to play a single down, Marvin Harrison. Olave.
Yeah. I love Brandon Ayuk, the player. I think he fits in well with that offense, with the 49ers. But because we've covered this story the way that we have, I feel like we've elevated Brandon Ayuk to a status I don't believe that he truly garners. Hour number three coming up here.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.